I keep putting up this verse because it's one we picked up at the beginning of the year. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. And it's a bit like the verse we had last year, that seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you, that you can just always keep repeating it. You can always find stuff in it. You can always apply stuff. And so it isn't a theme in itself. It's just kind of something I want to keep reminding ourselves of, that that's where we want to be. We want to be in this place. And I was very convicted this week to talk about the cross. And actually say, well, what is it? And I was playing with my title and kept trying to think, how do I want to... I want to talk about living this side of the cross, or living beyond the cross, or living from the cross. We're coming to the season of Passover. Most people call it Easter, but I prefer to call it Passover because that's what it is. And we're approaching that season when we think about Jesus going to the cross. And Good Friday, and it's on the announcements, and then in March we'll go into town and so on. But actually, it's all about what happened on the Sunday morning. We thank God that he was willing to go. We thank God, and it's important we identify and we look at what Jesus did, the sacrifice he was prepared to make. But he did it so that we could live in the Sunday morning. He did it so that we could live in the resurrection, so that we could live in the benefit, that we don't stay pre-cross. Because the cross released something in the heavens upon the earth that has changed everything forever. And we need to be living in the benefit and the goodness of that. And I spoke about wisdom last time, and we're reading about wisdom. And it's interesting that in the New Testament it talks about that Christ is the wisdom of God, that Jesus is the wisdom of God. And David was talking about the names of God, and he talked about Emmanuel, God with us. And the fact that Jesus came to be with us, a child is born to us, his name is Emmanuel, God with us. And the point was that when he was resurrected, he gave us the Holy Spirit. And he came and made a dwelling place with us so he could be God with us. And last time David preached, he talked about the Son of Man, that Jesus was prepared to actually lay aside his godliness, his deity, and actually live as a man, but go to the cross as a perfect man, fully God, fully man. And those names are important. And so this week I want to just come and meditate a little bit on what it means, what it looks like, or what it should look like for us to live after the cross. Live beyond the cross, live from the cross. Paul writes a lot about it, of course. And in 1 Corinthians it says, we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Gentiles foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So we want to talk about wisdom. Christ is the wisdom of God. And it's interesting, we talk about in the reading today, it says, you know, by the actions and the words of a righteous man, a city will be changed. Amazing, isn't it? Or by negative speech, it could be pulled down. And we need to be living on the right side of the cross, so we're living in the benefit and the righteousness of God, that our city, our town would be blessed. It's fun that in the verses preceding that, reading it in the Passion Translation, it was kind of fun because we know the verses. He chooses the foolish and the weak things of the world to confound the wise. And in the Passion Translation, it talks about he chose you, you puny person, you weak thing, to be the one that demonstrates his wisdom. And I think that's amazing, because the world sets so much store, and I'm not talking against education or qualifications at all, but the world sets so much store about having letters after your name, and that gives you importance, and if you've got a title, that gives you importance. Most of you know that I work with somebody in the House of Lords, and he has that title, Lord Shoreditch, and people amazingly respond to that title. And he's just an ordinary, he could be my son, he's that young. We treat him like that. That's one of our kids, and his kids are like our grandkids. But people respond to the fact he's been given an honorific title. And the world sets store by that. And my brother, as you know, Martin, he went to university and he loved it. And I chose not to go to university. I didn't do it. So I didn't get any degrees. My dad left school at 14. And he didn't have any qualifications, neither did Mom. But the favour of God, God uses the weak, the foolish, the things of no report, he uses them. And my dad finished life with a postgraduate qualification. Mom was a magistrate, a local JP. I've been promoted all my life from job to job to job without having degrees behind my name or anything. God has raised me up because he says I will use that which is of no consequence to the world. I have got a BA, however, and most of you in the room have got a BA, born again. My dad used to say he was BA, BSC, because in his early life he's a butcher, so he says, I'm born again, butcher, second class. I thought I've got a good one. I saw a PhD, Passion and Hunger for the Divine. See, what do letters mean? It's who you are. But Jesus is that wisdom. Jesus is that which shows, and because of who he was and what he did. And he came declaring good news. He came declaring. It's interesting, Jesus didn't preach about the cross, did he? He taught about the kingdom of God. He says, the kingdom of God is near you, it's here, it's with you. And when he says the kingdom of God is here, it's in your midst, that's because the person of God was in the midst. Emmanuel, God with us. And when he went through the cross, he enabled that to become a permanent position for those who would believe. That's how the cross changed everything. So when Jesus came upon the earth, he said, the kingdom of God is with you, it's in your midst. And when he went through the cross and was resurrected, now he said, I can send you the Holy Spirit, and I can come and make my dwelling place with you, and the kingdom of God is here to stay. Why else would Jesus ask us to pray, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, if he didn't intend that to be the case, that his kingdom would manifest here on the earth? And the barriers that prevented that were changed at the resurrection of Jesus. The moment he was raised, the veil of the temple was torn in two. The access to the mercy seat became open. A place where people could not go was now open. And Jesus is now our mercy seat. He is the mercy seat, which was on the Ark of the Covenant behind the temple curtain. So I want to look and see what... Yeah, it works. It's awesome when it works. Living a blessed life. What's that got to do with it, Ian? So I want to go back into the Old Testament and look at Psalm 67, which is a really, really, really important psalm when we want to think about the kingdom of heaven being in our midst. So verse 1 says, God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. And then it says, Selah. And Selah means, think on that for a minute. Pause. So that's why I put a paragraph space in. Pause. Think on it. Think on it. Pause before God. So here's a prayer. God be gracious to us and bless us. Through the cross, God's grace was manifest like never before. So God be gracious to us. He has been in the cross and continues to be because of the cross. And the next word is, and bless us. Do you actually believe you're meant to live a blessed life? If we go back to where we started, that we prosper and be in good health as our soul prospers. We're meant to live a blessed life. Now, living a blessed life might not look like how we think it looks sometimes, but we're meant to live a blessed life. And do you actually ask him to bless you? Do you think you're worthy of blessing? A lot of us disqualify ourselves because we go, oh, well, God couldn't do that with me, or I don't deserve that, or this or that. But that's where the cross changed everything. The cross made you worthy. If we accept the work of the cross, if we accept what Jesus has done, we live in that resurrection life, and we are in a position where he can and will and wants to bless us. And we need to be confident and ask him. Now the next phrase is amazing. And cause your face to shine upon us. Wow. Now that only happened to one person in the Old Testament. Yes, the answer's coming back. Moses. Paul writes about that later in Corinthians 2. It only happened to one person, and it so freaked everybody out. Because he talked face to face with God, and he he shone so much that they wanted him to put a veil across his face because they couldn't cope with looking at him, this man who'd been in the presence of God. And here is the prayer, and say, cause your face to shine upon us. Jesus restored the position that we were enabled to be face to face with God. Back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were in a place where they walked with God in the cool of the day. They spoke with God, and the fall broke that relationship, and Jesus restores it back to where it should be, that we can walk with God, we can talk with God, we can be face to face with God. Jesus paid that price to bring us into that face to face relationship. We know that he knows us. Psalm 139 gives us lots of detail on how well he knows us, and it also says he knows the hairs on our head. He knows we are known by God. But the joy of what Jesus has done is that we can know God too. We can come to a knowledge and an understanding of who he is. And the amazing thing about that is, if we're saved and we want to be with him for eternity, that knowing God will never, ever, ever end. That he is so vast, so amazing, so incredible, that for the rest of eternity we'll be coming to more and more understanding, more and more knowledge of who he is. It will never end. He's so vast, so beautiful, so awesome. And it's like we come into this place, we're trying to describe it when we're just praying this morning, where how do you describe that moment? It's like you come to a room and the light goes on and now you can see stuff in the room. And so you have this knowing of God that there he is, there's the light. But for the rest of eternity, we'll be exploring the room and finding what's in there and everything about the intricacy of what he's done. And you're meant to live a blessed life. Why? Why are you meant to live a blessed life? Here we go, from the next verse down. That your way may be known on the earth. Whose way? God's way. Your salvation among all nations. Let all the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Another Selah, another stop and think. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. God blesses us, that all the ends of the earth may fear him. Why are we meant to be blessed? Clues in that. So the earth would know. So the nations would be saved. It's very selfish to not live a blessed life. Some of you have been put off by being blessed, thinking, oh, it's just being selfish. It's very selfish to not live a blessed life. Because you're meant to be blessed so that nations will know God. That other people will be saved. If you don't live blessed, you're turning your light off. Think about that one. Being blessed, makarios, the word, is to be happy, to be fortunate, to be blessed. It's not very complicated, is it? That's it. That's all it's used for. So we're meant to shine. One of the key verses, again, another key verse, Isaiah 60, the first few verses. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. That's not what's going on around us, is it, particularly? Have you noticed stuff like that going on? Darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise on you, and his glory will appear on you, and nations, oh, here we go again, nations will come to the light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. See, we could focus on the darkness. We go, oh, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Look at it, it's terrible. Look at all this going on, going on, going on. Then shine. You're meant to do something about it. You're meant to live this side of the cross. You're meant to live in the blessing and the fullness of God so that you shine a light so people can see in the darkness. It's not to draw attention to yourself. It's so that people can see in the darkness. Are there any people living around us in this town, in this neighborhood, who are living in darkness? You're unsure, okay? I think there are quite a few. My guess is 100,000+, probably. Who are living in darkness, in one form or another. In our own family, in our street, in our workplace, there are people living in darkness. Then the prophet here says to us, then shine. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Not just the prophet, Jesus said it. He said, you are the light of the world. We want the world to see in the darkness, then turn the light on. And you won't do that by sitting at home going, woe is me. You'll do it by saying, God, bless me. God, let your glory come upon me. What do we mean by God's glory? I would translate it for my most part from my studies, the goodness of God. It's a revelation of the goodness of God. It's just how good he is. Because when Moses said, God, I want to see your glory, the next thing that happens, he says, and God let all his goodness pass before him. I had no idea what that looked like. I can't even begin to imagine what that looked like. That all the goodness of God passes before you. I don't know. Who's got a really good imagination? Can you? What on earth does that look like? But when Moses asked to see the glory of God, that's what God showed him. All his goodness. We're doing another 8-week course in the house group on the goodness of God. It's interesting. It's a challenge. Believe that God is good always. So he didn't say arise and reflect. He said arise and shine, because you are the light, you're not a mirror. We haven't got Jesus shining there in the heavens and we go, polish up my heart and then I can just reflect Jesus. Now he comes, he lives within us and the light goes on. But if we don't live in the benefit of the cross, we cover the light. And we're restored. Interestingly, Paul, one of the key verses, and we'd quote it a lot if we were doing evangelism on the streets and knocking doors, we'd go, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We love the bit, for all have sinned. Yeah, just get people, make sure they know that they're a sinner. But actually, the verse says, and fallen short of the glory. So if Jesus came to restore it, what did he do? He came to deal with sin and to restore the glory. Restore from where you've fallen. The glory, the goodness of God. The light of God coming upon us. So whose light do the nations come to? It's the church. Use that word ecclesia if you're around us much. Because we think of the church as this thing with a spire or a steeple down the end of the road. The ecclesia is the people. It's the people. That's where the light is. It's not because somebody puts a big LED light on the top of the church spire. It's because there's goodness coming out of your life because you're living redeemed. I love this verse right at the beginning of Isaiah. Isaiah is an amazing book to read. There's so much spoken of Jesus and so much spoken of end times. Isaiah 2, verse 2 and 3, it says, it will come about that in the last days. What are we living in right now? Last days. When did the last days start? At Pentecost. So, and we're still in the last days. But we're in the last days. It will come about that in the last days. So that's where we're living. That the mountain of the house of the Lord, a mountain speaks about rule, it speaks about an area of authority. I won't dig into that too much right now. But the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. And it will be raised above the hills. Here we go again. And all the nations will stream to it, and many peoples will come and say, come, let's go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning what his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For the Lord will go forth from Zion, that's us, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, that's us. As I said, that's what's going to happen in the last days. The context for the arise and the shine. This is about the nations coming. At the mountain of the Lord, the place where God is, the place where he dwells, is raised up above all the other mountains of influence. And we talk a lot, if you're in the circles that we move in, a lot about mountains of influence, the mountains of influence of the media, of government, of education, and so on. But the mountain of God will be raised up above all those areas where principalities and powers captivate people's hearts with lies and untruths and sin. In all those areas, but the mountain of the Lord is raised up above those mountains. I've been quite taxed in my prayer life saying, Lord, you've shown me different areas where the enemy has reign and where he rules and how we should intercede into that and how we should pray. And the answer came back from the Lord, you don't fight the enemy, you build a better kingdom. Let's be for something, not against something. Kevin said that in our prayer meeting a couple of weeks ago. You don't remember saying it now, do you, Kevin? No. No, he does. When we were having a prayer meeting, Kevin said we should be for something, not against something. And what we should be for is building a better kingdom. We should be aware of the enemy. But we could spend all our time in battles and skirmishes when we should be building the kingdom. So how, what do we have that we can do that? Is it gonna go? Yes. Good. So your past is dealt with. And for many of us at different times, we still find ourselves locked in regret and shame. And anything that's regret and shame is to do with our past. And it's where the enemy wants to hold us. Colossians 2:13. When you were dead in your transgressions, so before the cross, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, what happened? He made you alive together with him. So because of the cross, we come by faith, we receive Jesus, we proclaim him Lord, we confess our sins, we repent, we turn around, and he makes us alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. We were almost tempted to sing that one this morning. Satan comes against you and accuses you in the court of heaven with all the rubbish of your past life and wants to pull you down and disable you and disarm you because he's afraid of you. Listen to that. Satan is afraid of you. So he comes, and he comes with accusation and decrees, and he says, look at all this rubbish that you've done. And it was interesting when we had communion a couple of weeks ago, we had some nails, didn't we, and some wood. And Jesus took those decrees that Satan takes against you, and he nails it to the cross, where his blood flowed down that cross and actually obliterated those decrees made against you. That's why it's important that we learn to live beyond the cross, not up to or in the cross, but beyond the cross. We need to know that when the enemy comes in accusation, he has nothing in us. He has nothing in us. And we are ready to be blessed by God because Jesus nailed it to the cross. He made you alive together with him, having forgiven our transgressions and cancelled out the debt. That's the power of the cross. And it stands eternal for all time. Jesus sits in heaven with nail-scarred hands, forever speaking of mercy in heaven. I need to push on. If we've died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, Why, as if you were living in the world, you submit yourself to decrees such as don't do this, don't do that, don't handle, don't taste, which refer to things destined to perish in accordance with the commands and teachings of men. Let's not get stuck living a religious life. Let's start to live in freedom because our past is dealt with. Colossians 3. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Sounds like seek first the kingdom of God, doesn't it? That? Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's pretty plain, isn't it? That is the most clear statement that's there. You're dead. You're already dead, actually, before the cross. You're already dead because you were dead in your sins. And now Jesus finished it off and nailed it all to the cross. Now he's made you alive. We're not dead. I'm glad about that. But the consequence is now, actually, get your head in the space where Jesus is, what he's raised you up to be. Set your mind on the things above, not on the stuff that's on the earth. Why? Because you're dead. And your life is... Where are you going to live your life? Where you've been raised to or where you died? It's tough to get our heads in, isn't it? We're hidden with Christ. What are we hidden from? Hidden from the eyes and the accusations of the enemy, so we can seek him first. We just need to change our priorities. It's interesting, Colossians also says that part of the wisdom of God is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. I think it was probably on one of my slides somewhere, but it's not there. It's my last slide. Yeah, that's it. This is a prayer. Peter wrote it. And that's what we need to speak over ourselves and over one another. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace. Just let the Holy Spirit start speaking his words to you. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. I decree that over you even now. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You're invited to know him. You're invited to an intimate place of face to face. Just let that sink in. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything. His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Not by what you've done, not by what you've earned, not by works, not by qualifications, not through a university education, but his divine power has given us everything, not some things, everything that we need to live a true life in the knowledge of him. Through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. He's called us to glory. He's called us to shine. He's called us to live in excellence. He's called us to live in purity, to live in holiness, to live in righteousness. And he does the work for us to get to that place. For by these, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Dwell on that one for a moment. Because of grace and peace that's multiplied to you, because of the knowledge that he's prepared to pour out upon you of who he is and who Jesus is, and with a vision of glory and excellence that he pours over your life. Now, because of all of that, he grants that you know his precious and magnificent promises. It's a little comma there, but the next bit gets goosebumpsy for me. I don't know what you think about the promises of God offer you, and we can ask that question in a moment of him. So that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Yay, God. Oh, isn't that a relief? What a relief. We struggle with stuff in the world around us, and the enemy comes and accuses us. The enemy says, you ain't good enough, you can't do this. Blah, 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 blah. And you just point to the cross and say, it's there. Deal with it. It's dead. It's gone. Jesus dealt with this. And now I live in his precious and magnificent promises. Just even as you are right now, just if you need to, close your eyes. Just ask God, what are your promises toward me today?